Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn in your service folder to the gospel reading from John 6. We'll be using it as the basis for the sermon this morning, and I'm going to read it again. And as I read it, I'd like you to listen for all of the times that Jesus' words refer to living life, eternal life. So here again, the words of Jesus from John 6. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he was from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." So far, the words of Jesus. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ. The Gospel of John has a number of kind of unique features to it. And one of them is that it happens a lot in John that someone comes to Jesus thinking that they're going to talk about one thing, and Jesus doesn't want to talk about that. He talks about something else. And so in John's Gospel especially, Jesus is constantly teaching people stuff that they didn't realize they needed to know. So perhaps the parade example of this is poor Nicodemus. You may recall in John 3, he comes to Jesus at night and he says what he thought was a good thing to Jesus. He says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent from God, for no one can do the mighty signs that you are doing unless God is with him." So that's a pretty positive intro. Jesus looks at Nicodemus and says, "Unless you're born again, you can't enter the reign of God." And Nicodemus says, "What are we talking about? I didn't realize I needed to know this." See? And it happens with the woman at the well in Samaria in John 4. It happens with Mary and Martha and the death of their brother Lazarus in John 11. It happens over and over. And that's sort of what's going on here in John chapter 6. You may remember what's happened earlier from the gospel readings last week, and I think perhaps the week before, that Jesus has fed the 5,000. Then he's crossed over the other side of the lake, and the crowds have followed him, and they say, "Rabbi, how did you get here?" And Jesus says to them, "You're looking for the wrong kind of bread." I think they felt good about themselves that they had found Jesus, but no, he wants to teach them about life. And as I was studying this reading and preparing for the great privilege of being here at Faith Lutheran Church this morning, that's what struck me most about this reading. That Jesus, of course, says, "I am the bread of life." And he says, "Everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him has eternal life." And so, although we're not the crowds and we're not in exactly the same situation that they were in long ago, nevertheless, Jesus has things he wants to teach us about life. Maybe things that we didn't know before about eternal life. And so I'm going to suggest that there are three things based on this reading about the life with God that the bread of life gives. Three things, and we'll take them each in turn. But before we do that, I think we need to actually pause and think about life. What is life, and what does it mean to be alive? And we could say a lot of things about this, but I'm going to say a couple of things in a row. I'm going to string them together, but then I'm going to come back to them over and over again so they can help weave their way through our meditation this morning. And the first thing to say is that if death is, in some sense, separation, then to be alive, it means you've been brought near, right? So to be alive with God or alive in relationship to God means that God has brought you near. And if you've been brought near and made alive, that means that when God offers you things, gifts, you can actually receive them, right? Because dead people can't receive anything. You can't give a dead person anything. You have to be alive to be able to receive. So to be alive with God, to be alive in general, means that I've been brought near to the one in relation to whom I am alive, and I can receive things from him. And then, having received, I can respond. And I can grow. And I can live my life with purpose. Now, again, that's a lot. We'll come back to it. So to be alive is to be drawn near to God so that I can receive what he wants to give me. And having received, I can respond. And I can grow. And I can live with purpose. Now, let's talk about the life with God from the teaching of Jesus, the life with God that Jesus gives. The first thing to say about it is this, and it's based especially on verses 37 and 44. The life with God is a complete and total and utter gift. To be near to God, to be able to receive from him, to be able to respond to him, to be able to grow in my relationship with him and to live with purpose. This is entirely and utterly and completely a gift. It is not something that I have accomplished. It is not something that I can accomplish. You see, the crowds were probably thinking something different. Earlier in the chapter, when they found Jesus, they said to him, "What shall we do?" they said. "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" We don't exactly know what was going on in their minds, and we probably shouldn't be too specific. But some of it was going on, okay, Jesus, you have to do your part, maybe most of it, but what must we do in order to work the works of God? And Jesus says, at least partially in response to that, in verse 37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." But you see, no one comes to Jesus unless the Father gives it. And he says precisely this in verse 44. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." So this life with God is completely and utterly the doing of God. It is completely and utterly gift. That is to say, it's not about my intelligence. It's not about your ability. If I come to Jesus and receive this life from him, it is completely and utterly because the Father who sent Jesus has drawn me to him. It is gift. Now, we're not the crowds. We're baptized believers. We're here because we confess the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it may be actually a little doubtful if anybody is actually here today saying, "Oh, Jesus does most of it, but I can do my part." But just in case there's anybody here thinking that, stop thinking that. I mean, that's sin, it's arrogance, it's evil. You're completely underestimating how fully sin has affected your life, and you can't do it. It's gift. Repent, turn away from that if there's anybody here thinking. I don't know if there is or not. But there is, I think, in the church, a more subtle way that we can begin to undercut this truth that our life with God, having been drawn near to him to receive his gifts and respond and grow and live with purpose, our life with God is a complete gift, but we undercut it as soon as we play the comparison game. as soon as we start comparing ourselves to one another. Well, of course I'm a sinner, obviously. But it's odd how he can never seem to get his act together. Of course I have eternal life from God purely because the Father has drawn me. But look at how easy it was for him to draw me. I take it they're laughing because they know what I'm talking about. Oh, good, you still have jobs. Sisters, brothers, if you've been playing that game, stop. It is sin. It is evil. It divides the fellowship. And it denies the grace of God. The first thing Jesus wants us to know again about this life that the bread of life gives us is that it is completely and utterly his gift. Now, the second thing that emerges from Jesus' words here is it's a little different. And in the 8 o'clock service, I gave the pastor and the vicar the permission to take me out if they didn't like what I said. So, but nothing happened, so I'm going to venture to do it again. The life that we have from God is a full life, and it is physical. The life that we have with God, eternal life, is a physical thing. And it's an odd, even as I say it again, it sounds odd to say, so let me try to explain what I mean. You see, we're all Westerners, we're 21st century people, and I think we've been trained to think of spiritual things as somehow up here. You know, truth, ideas, floaty stuff, if I could say it that way. See? But the life that Jesus gives is not up there. He is, in fact, the living bread that came down from heaven. This is the gospel that begins, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so the life that he gives and the means by which he gives it are physical, fleshly, creational life and creational means. Again, the bread that came down from heaven precisely is the one who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was made man. A real flesh and blood physical man. God sent his son to become flesh and blood and physical. And he still is, Jesus of Nazareth still is flesh and blood physical, glorified to be sure. But he still is flesh and blood. In the last verse of the reading, Jesus actually lays it right out. He says, "The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." See, here's the problem. It wasn't that ideas had gone bad. The world had gone bad. Creation had been corrupted. Humans sinned with their bodies against one another, and Cain killed Abel. And it was a fleshly, physical, creational problem that God had to solve. And so it was when the flesh and blood body of Jesus hung on the cross that he took all of the world's sin and death. He took all of your sin and death into his flesh and blood body on the cross. All of your hunger, all of your thirst caused Jesus to say, "I thirst." And the bread of life died. The bread of life died. And if they had lungs, I've wondered if the angels held their breath. But Jesus, physical, flesh and blood, is the bread of life. And just as he laid down his flesh and blood self for the life of the world, so he took it up again in power and in strength and in Easter glory and in eternal life. Flesh and blood, physical, Jesus now lives and he reigns and he gives eternal life. And this eternal life, this being drawn near to God so that you can receive his gifts and respond to him and grow and live with purpose, this life comes to you, not to your soul. It comes to you, body and soul, flesh and blood, you, all of you. This is why there are real sacraments. When you were baptized, it wasn't your soul that was baptized. You were baptized, flesh and blood, body complete, all of you. And this is why you, believing Christians, this is why you are holy. Flesh and blood, your flesh and blood are holy. Your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And your mouth is the holy means by which God speaks words of encouragement to the people around you. And your feet are the holy means by which God moves you out in compassion to the needs around you. And your hands and your arms and your eyes, it's not your soul, it's you, it's all of you that has been brought into this eternal life. And this life, this being drawn near to God to receive his gifts, to respond to him, to grow and to live with purpose, this life is so strong and it affects all of you so much that when you die, if you die, when you die, it will not destroy this life. As terrible as death is, and death is terrible because it's the opposite of life, as terrible as death is, it cannot destroy the life that you have with God. For Jesus will come, and in this reading he says not once in verse 39, but twice in verse 40 and three times in verse 44, he says, I will raise you up on the last day. So powerful is this life that God has given to you that the day is coming when Christ will renew the creation, and in that act of renewal with his unthinkable mercy and power, he will raise the dead. And as the Catechism says, give unto you and me and all believers in Christ everlasting life. This life that Jesus gives is all of you. It's for all of you. It comes through physical means and it embraces all body and soul. So it is utter gift, completely and pure from beginning to end. It is physical. It comes through Jesus and comes to you, all of you, through physical means. And the last thing to say about this life with God is that it's now. It's not something that you have to wait for. It begins now. Jesus said, I am, not I will be, not I was. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So now, you who were far off have been brought near to God. How? Through the blood of Christ. And now, you who used to be unable to receive the gifts of God, now he has opened your mind and heart and body to receive the gifts of life and salvation and mercy and truth. And now you, filled with the Holy Spirit, can respond to God because he has given you life and you can grow. And when he says, follow me, you can say yes. And when you search for the purpose of your life, you can know what it is. It is to serve him with your life by loving your neighbor. This life comes to us now. And I mean, now. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And this is his body that will come among us and into your mouths, really, truly, mysteriously, incomprehensibly. But there he is. This is his blood that will come among us and into your mouths, really and truly, body and soul for you. And if you were paying attention this week, and if you were trying to live as a Christian this week, you know that the world is filled with death and lies and discouragement and sin. And when you came in the door, I don't know if they do this in California. In Missouri, we have a greeting. I call it church fine. Church fine. How are you today? Fine. You know, you're bleeding on the inside and you can hardly stand and you can't even walk on a bad day. How are you today? Fine. How about this one? How are you today? I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I need the bread of life. So come. This life is here for you now because Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.